if you have noticed, but I am not a mother. I have never been a mother, and I have a sneaky suspicion that I will never be a mother. So coming up with a Mother's Day sermon was a little bit of a difficulty for me. I was, you know, reading and researching, and it's always hard to kind of find something you're not used to looking for. I remember my wife Katie was doing a Bible study, and she starts bringing up all these things in a passage in Titus that I was like, I've never considered that before. You know, it's written to women. It's something I just kind of pass on along. And so today we're going to gather to celebrate not only mothers, but women in general, and what all you do to build your home. Turn with me to actually Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to just be reading verses 1 through 3. And in these three verses, we're going to look at two ways in which wise women build their house. So Proverbs chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, says, "The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tear it down. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them." Again, you know, we're going to be talking about mothers and women and just celebrating all that you do to build your home today. I saw a story the other day on the internet that there was one Mother's Day that a mother who had a couple of little children was commanded to stay in bed that Mother's Day morning. So she was really excited. She was getting ready to have a nice breakfast in bed from her children, and she starts smelling the wonderful smell of bacon and waffles and some eggs, and she's getting just so excited for this breakfast in bed. Well, some time goes by, and she starts wondering what's going on, and finally she gets up and she walks downstairs, and she sees her little kids just having a feast, and one says, "Hey, for Mother's Day, we thought we would surprise you by cooking our own breakfast this morning." Sometimes we try to do things to appreciate others, and we don't quite get it right. In this passage in Proverbs, we're going to see how women wisely build their homes. So, in verse 1, it says that the wisest of women builds her house. And so, automatically, whenever we think of building, we think of work. And often we think of work as this really bad thing, as work as something that's to be despised, something that we don't want to do. But the Bible actually has a lot to say about work. That work is a good thing. Work came about before the fall. Adam and Eve were given an assignment to keep the garden, to work it, to make it produce. And so work is not a bad thing at all. Lean into work. Work is something that we ought to seek after. Good work is a good thing. So while we're talking about work, we know that this isn't something to be despised. This isn't something that we should run away from. This isn't something that we should frown upon. This is something that we should be joyful about. And another thing that we should be joyful about that we see in Genesis before the fall is that God gave gender as a gift to mankind. That man and woman complement each other in unique ways. That they are not exactly the same. The Baptist Faith and Message says that although they are equal in value, they are unique in jobs. They have unique positions to fill that only they can fill. And so gender is a good thing and work is a good thing. And so we can understand that gender-specific work is a good thing. And so today we're going to be talking about wise women building her house. So notice with me in chapter 14, verse 1, we see that there is a type of work to do. It says that you are going to build your house. So what does this mean? Obviously, the author does not have in mind here someone actually physically laying a foundation to a house and putting up the boards to lay down walls That's not mine. Because even in our day, this is not something that is normally designated to women. And especially not in this day and age. This is not work that the man would leave for the wife to do. So we can kind of rule out that kind of work, that physically building a house is what's in view here. But we also see that it's not simply words of encouragement. You know, the first time reading through this, you kind of want to say, well, a wise woman builds up her house. She encourages it. She gives instruction. She teaches. And obviously that's in view here, but that's not all that's in view here. Wise women do speak well, and they do encourage, and they do exhort, and they do give instruction. But that's not all that the author has in mind here. You know, whenever you're reading Proverbs, your Bible might have every other verse is indented or set apart in some way. There might be some way to show that it's distinct, and if you will read it, it says, but with folly she tears down her own house. And that shows this complete opposite effect of whatever the positive he is trying to show off. And so we can see that by this positive and negative, by this thesis and antithesis, by this, you know, good and bad, he's trying to endorse how good doing the right thing is. He's not simply saying you can either do this or do that. He is trying to show how good it is to follow the right way and how bad it is to not follow it. Necessarily, one who does not build their house tears it down. And so, notice that it says not just tears it down with her words, not just tears it down with her speech, but tears it down with her hands. And so you can understand a lot from the positive statement by reading the negative statement. And so this building is not just with words, it's with your hands also. So it is work. It's not simply words of encouragement. It's not simply sayings, but it is work. Not necessarily physical work, not necessarily laying a foundation to a house, and not necessarily just building up the house in some way, but it is work. Now, if you go read through the Old Testament, and especially the book of Ruth, and Ruth is a great book to read, and it has, you know, really great things to say about a husband and a wife, and even Christ and his church. But one thing that the book of Ruth says whenever it's talking about how Boaz redeems Ruth, the townspeople gather around and they say, let her be like Rachel, who built up the house of Israel. And we understand that built up means that she had children. She produced the offspring that built the house of Israel. And so maybe that's what's in view here. And I don't think necessarily that's what the author means. Because if that's what he means, to tear it down is not just simply something that is unwise or foolish. It is something that is abominable. If that's what the author means by build up the house, to tear it down would mean to get rid of kids. And that is not something that the Bible says. Obviously, the Bible endorses having kids. And the Bible says that children are an inheritance from the Lord. They're a blessing to the house. That children will rise up to call their mothers blessed. So children are a good thing. But I don't think this is all that the author has in view here, that a woman builds up her house by producing offspring. Because whenever we read in the New Testament, even in Isaiah, in the Old Testament, women who don't necessarily have children can still be mothers. There's a spiritual sense in which even if you may not have children, you can be a mother to the church. Paul tells Titus, let the older women teach the younger women how to behave, how to act, how to love their husbands. Be a spiritual mother to the church. And so, you know, even today, if you don't necessarily have children, you can be a spiritual mother. Isaiah talks about how the widow spreads her tent large, and she is able to take in a large amount of people, more than she would even if she had her natural-born children. And we heard a couple weeks ago Pastor Todd talking about adoption. And that is one way to do this, adoption is such a wonderful option that I strongly encourage everyone to consider. But even if not, you can be a spiritual mother to the church. You can take up younger women under your wing and teach them and encourage them and walk with them. And so I don't think just bearing children is what the author has in mind here. So what does he have in mind? Well, flip back over to Proverbs chapter 24. It says in verse 3, "By wisdom a house is built. By understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate he does not open his mouth." So rather than just it being physical work, rather than it just simply being words of encouragement, and rather than just producing offspring, a house is built by wisdom. Proverbs is trying to show us that wisdom is a great thing, and wisdom is how you build up your house. So notice the benefits of wisdom in a house. Not only is the house built up, but it says by understanding it is established. The foundation is laid. It is given strength through wisdom. In verse 4, we see that wisdom produces wealth. It says by knowledge the rooms are filled, and with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, this is talking in some sense about material wealth, because to gain material wealth, you do have to have wisdom of some kind. You have to spend your money wisely. You have to earn your money wisely. You can't just go out and blow it all in one go. You need to be wise, not even just in stock market sense, but even in work. Be wise about the way that you work to gain money. A lot of times we read about gaining money the wrong way, doing things in a bad way. And this is what wisdom is speaking against. Wisdom is using the right resource in the right way. So material wealth is in view here. And I encourage you, not just women, but men also, fathers, spend your money well. Be wise about how you use your money. It's something that's really important. And if you want to know where someone's love is, look at where their paycheck is going. Your wisdom needs to be used to spend your money well. But I don't think that material wealth is all that's in view here, because knowledge also produces a spiritual wealth, a joy and happiness in the souls of people that is beyond riches. Jesus talks all the time about being blessed. And we understand that being blessed isn't simply, hey, I won the lottery. Being blessed is having a joy in your heart. Being blessed is being happy and having a peace about you. And what the Proverbs is saying here is that you gain this peace through wisdom. You gain this peace by understanding and by knowledge. And so, mothers, today I want to encourage you to teach your children to be wise. Teach your children to know what wisdom is and to seek after wisdom. To do things that are wise and to understand the right way to go. Because through wisdom, there is riches abounding. So seek wisdom. Wisdom also, in verse 5, gives strength. And a man of knowledge enhances his might. Now your translation might say something along the lines of, wisdom is better than strength. Or a wise man is better than a strong man. And it all kind of gets around the same point, that being wise is better than just simply having brute force. You know, I joke all the time at work and say, well, if brute force doesn't work, you're not using enough of it. And to an extent, I hold to that. You know, whenever you're working on something, sometimes you just need some percussive maintenance. But we all know the saying is true, that knowledge is power. Wisdom is strength. And if you want to have a strong family, be wise about your family time. Be wise about how you spend time with one another and what kind of time you're having. simply having a large quantity of time with one another is not the same as having good quality of time with one another. Good, strong families are built on wisdom. And we know that wisdom is personified in the Lord Jesus. Build your family around Christ. And in that way, your family is going to be so much stronger. Teach your kids to love the Lord, and they'll be stronger than simply brute force. We also know that whenever strength and wisdom are combined, amazing things happen. Whenever you combine your strength with your husband, great things happen. Be wise about how you work with one another, and things will move. Verse 6 shows us that wisdom gives a certain kind of peace and safety. It says, "For by wise guidance you can wage your war, in abundance of counselors there is victory." Now, this isn't talking about whenever you have a fight with your husband, if you're wiser than him, you'll win. Even though normally that's what happens anyways. But whenever you are wise in your family, there is safety. Whenever you are wise in your household, there is security. Whenever you are wise in how you walk and how you act and how you present yourself, both men and women, there is a sort of peace that comes along with that. Be wise in how you go about your business. We're going to talk about your words later. But James tells us to be, basically to be wise about our words. Be wise in what you speak. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. Because in that, there is safety. Because oftentimes, mine especially, your words start moving faster than your brain does. And that can get you in hot water real quickly. And lastly, wisdom is too high for a fool, and the gate he does not open his mouth. We understand that wisdom gives a certain kind of confidence. Wisdom gives us a certain kind of boldness that we don't have otherwise. What the proverb is getting at here is, think again back to the book of Ruth. Whenever Boaz goes out and he makes his case to be Ruth's redeemer, and he speaks at the gate, what it is there's townspeople gathered around. There's a lot of people around him, and he has boldness to speak out because he knows that his case is right. Wisdom gives us a certain kind of confidence that we don't have otherwise. And we can be confident in what we teach whenever our teaching is surrounded by the Lord, or is centered on the Lord. We can be confident in how our children are going to act whenever we know that they love the Lord. We can be confident that our marriage is strong because it is based on the Word of God. Wisdom has a certain kind of confidence that it gives us that we can't have otherwise. And so, how do we gain this kind of wisdom? How do we have this kind of wisdom that we can have riches, that we can go out confidently, that we can have safety and we can have strength? Well, Proverbs talks over and over and over again about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, the way that we gain wisdom is first by fearing the Lord. And this brings me right to my first point. The woman who builds well works rightly. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 2, it says, "Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him." So, we see that there is a certain kind of work and acting that is here. And this fear of the Lord, it means that first and foremost, you have confidence in, you respect, and you are concerned for the Lord more than anything else. Your first and foremost concern is not what you may think or what your friends may feel or what other people may say around you. Your first and foremost concern is what God says about the situation. This is what fearing the Lord means in one respect, and there are many respects, but first and foremost, we want to know what God says about whatever situation we are in. And this is a really good way to walk because God has ordered the universe. God has created everything, And God knows how things work best. And so whenever we follow His instructions, things go well. Think with me to the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. Why? So that your days may be long in the land. And it's not necessarily as if you don't honor your father and your mother, God is going to throw down lightning bolts at you. He's not the great smiter who is just waiting for you to mess up. But whenever we don't follow God's design for things, things don't end up well. Whenever we don't follow the perfect plan that God has made, things just mess up. And so the first thing for us to be able to act rightly is we have to know how to act. And this is what it means, that the one who walks in uprightness fears the Lord. Now, oftentimes in the Bible you will see work or some way of walking, and it means their way of life, how they go about life. And this person says that the person who is concerned first and foremost about the Lord is living in a right way. He walks in uprightness. The person who fears the Lord is walking in a morally correct manner. So to do that, we must first know what God says. If we follow God's instructions, things go well. God knows how to order things, and He has ordered things in a certain way. If we follow His rules for work and for the home, if we follow how He says to do things, things end up well. Women, have you ever noticed whenever your husband is building something, the instructions are like way off over here? And he's sitting there, and this happens to me sometimes, the leg will be like shooting off this way and this way. And, you know, you just start getting aggravated, and things start messing up. And he's like, oh, I just don't know how this thing works. What do you normally say? Well, if you just look at the instructions, right? God's saying the same thing. Our life gets in such a mess sometimes. And God's saying, look, if you would just look at the instructions, I am the wise counselor. I'm the great and high king. If you would just follow my plan for your life, things would go well. Maybe not perfectly, because we live in a sinful world. But we understand whenever we follow God's rules and commandments that this is how He's ordered the universe, and He knows how things work out the best. And so naturally, if we take, for instance, the fifth commandment, if we honor our father and mother, things go well for us because they are wise. They have walked in those steps before. They know how this kind of thing goes. To give you an example, whenever I was preparing to go to college, my dad pulled me aside and he gave me instruction about student loans and studying well. And you know, don't be so concerned about, you know, this or that. Just focus on finishing well. Do good. Get good grades. That way you can get a good job. He gave me good, wise instruction because he's been there before. He's done it. And this is what God's saying is, look, if you honor your father and mother, they've been there before. They know how to do it. So listen to them. And we can take any of those instructions and apply it. We can take anything. And it's, if we say, look, if we will just follow what God says, He knows how things work. But not only do we need to know these instructions, like I said, we need to do these instructions. It's one thing to know something. It's a wholly, completely different situation to do that thing. And so we understand that there is a sort of do this and you will live. Notice the negative of this statement. But he who is devious in his ways despises him, or the Lord. Whenever we are devious in our actions, whenever we are devious in our working, we automatically show that we despise the Lord. We are ignoring His instruction. We may know it, but we just choose not to do it. And this isn't neutral ground. This isn't something that we say, well, we can either follow it or we can't. This is something God says, no, if you don't follow this, you are automatically showing that you despise me. And there's many ways that we can do this. This can be intentional. This can be unintentional. We can know the commands and not follow them, or we can not know the commands and just be ignorant of it. And so know God's commands and follow them. But notice that the focus is not on just the actions, but rather the condition of the heart. It says that whoever is walking in uprightness, the one who is going about life in a right manner, the one who is following the Lord, he does it because he loves the Lord. He does it because he is right with God. And it's not, I followed God, so therefore I will be right. But it's, I am right with God, therefore I walk rightly because I serve a good God. What's the condition of your heart like? Have you been following God? If you do, your actions will be what He wants them to be. God changes the heart. God works inside of the person to make them love the Lord. And so if your actions are not the way that you want them to be, if they're not how you are wanting to walk and how the Bible commands us to live, it may not simply just be a solution of do better and try harder. It might be love the Lord. Honor Him. And so, mothers, I want to just encourage you with something this morning. As you learn to fear and love and walk with God more and more each and every day, teach your children to do the same. And we've been using the fifth commandment as kind of our example. Would you be an example of honoring your mother and father, even to your children? Oftentimes we think of these kind of things as, well, once I'm out of the house, I don't have to worry about that anymore. But be an example for your children. Show them how to live in a right manner. Walk with them. Don't just simply point them in the right way to go. And this is a great thing for us to do. And before there was ever a New Testament church, and before there was even a temple, God ordained the family. And God ordained the family so that it would bring glory to Him. Mothers and fathers are commissioned to teach their kids about the Lord. Proverbs says in another place that if you will teach your children in the way that they should go, whenever they grow old, they will not depart from it. Seek every opportunity you can to teach your kids not only to love the Lord, but to look for the Lord. Every opportunity that you have, train their hearts to be seeking the things of God. Don't simply teach them facts and figures and have them memorize Bible verses, but work hard to show them what it means to look for the Lord working in your life. Are you praying with your kids? Not simply praying for your kids. Most parents will do that just out of nature. Most Christian parents just want to pray for their kids. But are you praying with your kids? Are you showing them what it means to pray and to seek the Lord? So we've seen that women who build well work rightly. They fear the Lord. They follow His instruction. And secondly, I just want us to see that a woman who builds well speaks wisely as well. In verse 3, we see, by the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. What this is getting at here is that by our words, we will be judged. Now, we know that words are very powerful things. In Genesis, we see that it is by God's word that the world was created. It is by God's word that He commissions His people to go out. He commissions Abraham to leave everything and to go seek a country. By His words, the prophets talked for God to the people. We know that in the New Testament that Jesus is considered the Word. John refers to Him as the Word incarnate. We know that in the Greek, the word for Word is also wisdom. Jesus is known as the wisdom of God. He's known as the Word of God. We know that the Bible tells us that by our words we can turn away wrath. We can heal brokenhearted. But James also says that words can tear down. In the same way that a mighty ship is controlled by a very small rudder, a tongue can bring great destruction. Even outside of the Bible, words were seen in this day and age as a sort of magic, a sort of power. People who were well at speaking and did well in the public arena were seen as very high in their social status. They were seen as having some sort of even maybe magical powers. Have you ever wondered where a middle name comes from? It's because there's power in words. In the Middle Ages, the idea of having a middle or a secret name was given so that way people could not have power over you, because if someone knew your name, they had power over you. Even in our day, there are college courses on how to speak and rhetoric and how to speak in the public arena, because those who are seen as good speakers and those who have their speech well are seen as intelligent and wise and well-instructed. Words have great power. And Proverbs here is saying that by your words you will be judged. How you use your words is very important. So use them wisely. Jesus reiterates this statement in the New Testament whenever he says that every lofty word will be judged. How are you using your words? Are your words building up, or are they tearing down your house? I just want to give a few ideas for us to think about on this. Again, in James tells us that we are to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. And this has a lot to do with our words and how we use them. Like I said, is your mouth running faster than your brain does? Oftentimes, mine does. Slow down. Listen to those around you. Listen to your husband. Listen to your children. What are they saying? What are they trying to communicate? Don't be angry with them. Be patient. And use your words wisely. Use your words well to build up and to encourage and not to tear down. Even whenever we have a bad word to say, even whenever we have condemnation to give, our words can honor God. Paul tells us that everything we do needs to be for the glory of God. Is every word you speak glorifying God, or are there lofty words coming out of your mouth? Be careful how you speak, because your speech gives away the condition of your heart. Your translation in verse 3 might also say something along the lines of, a foolish mouth is the rod of pride. Something along those lines of, from your mouth the rod of pride comes. And the idea here is that a rod can also mean a root or a stem. And what the proverb is trying to say is that foolish words, words that aren't thought about but just spoken, they just come out, comes from a prideful heart. Our words show us the condition of our hearts. Jesus says the same thing whenever he says, it's not what goes into a man that makes him unclean, but what comes out of him. Wives, are your words working to build up your house? Think carefully about your words and how you use them. Words are very important, and we need to work well to use our words in a manner that encourages and uplifts. We need to use our words in a way that brings about a well-structured house. Are you using your words to teach? Are you using your words to encourage? Again, I just want to encourage you. Teach your children to fear the Lord. Teach them to know God's word. Teach them to hide it in their heart. Are you working with them? And this can be as easy as memorizing a couple of Bible verses every week. This can be as easy as simply just going through the Bible a little bit at a time, verse by verse, having them read it aloud. Teach your children that their words matter. Teach your children that words are very important and that they need to be careful about the words that they say. How are you speaking to your husband? Are your words encouraging him? Whenever we go back to Genesis, we see that woman is the helper to man. She encourages him. She helps him. And what's great is that that word, helper, is the same used for God. Women, are you helping your men? We need it. We need a lot of help. Are you encouraging them? Are your words uplifting them? And lastly, how are you speaking to yourself? Do your words encourage yourself? Are you lifting yourself up? You know, oftentimes we speak to ourselves, and this is a very negative thing. Oftentimes we tell ourselves that we're not good enough, that we're not smart enough, that we don't work hard enough, that we're not able to do this or that. Are your words glorifying God even when you're speaking to yourself? Are your words lifting you up? Are you saying good things to your heart? Paul tells us to reflect on good things, to think about whatever is good and holy and right and just. And maybe you even have to say a condemning word to yourself. Glorify God in what you say, even to yourself, and be an encouragement. And so, I know we were quick today, and I just want to reiterate, we've looked at a couple of ways that, wives, you can build your house. You can build your house through wisdom, and you can build your house by being wise in the way you act and wise in the way that you talk. Having right words and right actions are so important. I want to go back to chapter 24 for just a second. In verse 1, we see, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. If we think about this passage and we look at it, oftentimes in the Bible it talks about evil men, and don't be with them because, or be around them, or want to be like them, because their way is destruction, and there is only death in their path, and they're going to come to a bad end. But here in Proverbs, it simply says, don't be with them and don't be them simply because they are evil. Men, don't be devious in how you act. The New Testament tells us that sometimes our prayers are not answered because of the way we treat our wives. And isn't that such a harrowing word? That sometimes God refuses to answer our prayers because we have mistreated our wives. Men, are you working hard to honor your wives each and every day? Are you working hard to cleanse her with the Word of God? We see all the time in the New Testament that the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. And we are given instruction as men based off of this, that we are to be like Christ, giving up even our lives for her and washing her with the Word of God. Are you being good to your wives, and in that way being good to God? Young ladies, for those of you who aren't married yet, don't desire evil men. Find a man who loves God, because a man who loves God is going to love you. A man who seeks after God is going to seek after your heart. Don't be envious of evil men. Don't want to be with them. Don't want to be like them. Young ladies who maybe you're well far away from marrying age, or maybe it's hit your cuff. Don't seek evil men. Seek a man who loves God and who is going to work hard to love you. And I just want to lay out a few ideas for us today to think about that we can implement and put into action, maybe even today. Women, partner with your husband in your household. We see that the house works best whenever everybody is doing their job rightly. Have you ever seen a car with two steering wheels? It doesn't go too well. The man was given to be the leader of the household. Encourage your man in his leadership. Help him. encourage him, work with him, and lovingly submit to his leadership. Men, be the husband that you need to be for your wives. Be the spiritual leader in your household. Be the protector and provider of your house. And lead your wife and your children in godliness. And train your children to fear the Lord and to walk in wisdom. We've talked a lot today about you as a wife walking in the fear of the Lord to build your home rightly. But there's going to be a day whenever your children move out of the house and are ready to start families of their own. Train them to be good parents, to be good spouses, to fear the Lord first and foremost, to love Him and to honor Him first. Because a person who loves God and fears Him, respects Him, is concerned first and foremost for God, everything else will fall into place. Maybe you're listening to me today and you've never had a personal relationship with Christ. Maybe you've never had this fear and this respect and this concern for God. I just want to even beg you today to give your life to Christ, to repent and ask forgiveness of your sins. Because He is the Son of God. He gave everything for us. He was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again on the third day. And He tells us that anyone who repents of their sins and believes in Him as the Son of God will be forgiven and have eternal life. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. I want to encourage you today to do so. Maybe you haven't been walking in this fear of the Lord that we've talked about today. Maybe you've not been going and working in your house the way that God has instructed us. Just want to encourage you today to fear the Lord, know His instruction, and to do it. To know what God has commanded us to do and to walk in that. Would you pray with me? Your gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for today. I ask that You will just help us today to love You, to honor You, to walk in Your Word. Lord, help us to hide Your Word in our hearts, to love You with everything that we have, Lord, to fear You, to respect You, to be concerned about what You say. Lord, I pray that You will just help us today to rest. Help us today to relax and to enjoy one another, Lord, to enjoy our families, to enjoy our friends, Lord, to recharge and to get ready for the week. Lord, I pray that this week You will help us to walk in the fear of the Lord, Lord, to show others and point others to You. Lord, I thank You for all that You've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.